This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Earl, Alabama, the champions again. Six times under Nick Saban, 18 times in school history, and they did it with ease. We'll get into the game, what it means for college football to have finished this season, despite some warnings and dire predictions by people that COVID-19 would be just disastrous for the sport if it were to hit the gridiron. We'll talk about it because it's all said and done now, and Alabama is crowned the champs. The Eagles have parted ways with Doug Peterson, and we'll get to the reasons why and whether or not the Eagles organization right now is a good landing spot for a head coach looking for a job that could decide between jobs. Not somebody that's just looking for their first job and this is what they get. What if you had a choice? Would the Eagles situation be a good landing spot for somebody? Also, over the weekend, and I missed it because I was watching so much football, but the Tiger Woods documentary came out on HBO. And part one, detailing Tiger's early life leading up to the scandal, was put out on display. And I loved it. We'll talk about that coming up as well. But the day belongs to the analysis of how Alabama won its national championship. A 52-24 victory over Ohio State. Devontae Smith was fantastic for the one half he played because he had a hand injury and he left the game, but he still won the offensive MVP because he had 12 catches for 215 yards and three touchdowns, and nobody could cover him. Mac Jones was spectacular. Najee Harris had three TDs, two rushing, one receiving. So basically, Alabama was Alabama. The three guys on offense that were Heisman Trophy candidates, one won the trophy, all showed up and all played. And Ohio State, for all of the things that they did right against Clemson, just sort of ran out of steam at the end. Trey Sermon was out of the game, and that was pretty much it. I mean, I hate to say it, but when he left, I was like, I'm not going to like this. But for Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide, is this the best Alabama team he has ever had? And how does COVID affect the way we look at the college football season? Plus, inside the numbers of the huge victory last night over the Buckeyes, it's all about the national championship game as we continue. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wednesday, January 13th, it's the American Heart Association's 35th annual Paul Bear Bryant Awards. This year's ceremony goes virtual and will feature appearances from Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher, and more. For more info and to find out how you can participate, visit bryantawards.org.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, make sure your family doesn't have a fever by taking their temperatures before dinner and in the morning. Stay safe with the Exogen Temporal Scanner. It takes an accurate reading in seconds. It's the number one preferred thermometer of pediatricians. All right, so it's another national title for Nick Saban. And the Alabama Crimson Tide, they beat Ohio State last night, and they did so with ease. So what does this mean now that college football is in the books and got it done? So my big question is this. I think many of us, if you followed the season pretty closely, maybe we're hoping for a good game last night. I mean, there was some hope because Ohio State really took it to Clemson on January 1st in the national semifinal game. And you thought, well, I know we're talking about Justin Fields and he had been hurt. And, you know, Ryan Day was sort of keeping it close to the vest about his status. And then we kind of realized he would play. But in the end, here was Alabama with this 50-point-a-game offense and three Heisman Trophy candidates and Devontae Smith, who actually won the award, and Nick Saban, who just knows how to do these things. I mean, he just knows how to win these title games. I mean, he's incredible. I mean, he just has a system that works, and nobody's been able to stop it or figure it out. But I thought we could get a game where if Ohio State could score, if they could move the ball, if they could run the ball, if they could mix it up a little bit. And if Fields had just one of those games, like I saw Kyle Trask do, like I saw Matt Corral have at Ole Miss against this Alabama defense, we could get into some sort of maybe a back and forth shootout. I mean, we talked about it all last week leading up to the game. This was expected to be a shootout if Ohio State was on. This was not going to be a defensive struggle, that both teams were going to give up some points. Both teams could give up yardage. This was an offensive display. The stars of the game were on the offense for both teams. So my hope was that we would get a game where it could go back and forth, and Ohio State's chances really stemmed, at least in my thought, was if you could just get a turnover or two, like Alabama makes a mistake. They get a first down, but they fumble the ball. Oh my goodness. Or something, or Mac Jones throws an interception or two. But that didn't happen. And when I saw Trey Sermon leave the game, I went, oh, that's going to be pretty much game over. It's not that I didn't believe Justin Fields couldn't attack this Alabama defense. This game was 14-14 in the second quarter. But I also thought that Sermon's presence on the offense was important for the Buckeyes. And then it didn't matter. Alabama just steamrolled this team. I mean, just put up 28 points in the second quarter, and it was 35-17 at halftime. And that really was it. I mean, it was a 14-point game in the third quarter, but like the Steelers game against the Browns, it was a lot. It was too big of a mountain to overcome. And that's what ended up happening. And Alabama wins its national championship. Again, six times for Nick Saban, seven overall. He had one at LSU. So in the history books, how do we view this? How will COVID-19 affect the way we see this college football season? I was blown away by this Alabama team this year. I have been following SEC football for a very, very long time. And I really try to prevent myself from going to the best thing I saw, last thing I saw is the best thing I saw mentality. I don't really like that. I really like to take a step back and analyze. If I see something great, I like to pull myself back a second and go, don't get caught up in the emotion. Don't get caught up in the moment. Exactly where is this team or this moment or this game? Where does it fit in the history of that sport? And I really thought about this last night. And I really thought about this morning. I think this is the best Alabama team Nick Saban has ever had. I think this is the best Alabama team I have ever seen. And I've seen some good ones. That team that beat Texas in the in Pasadena was fantastic. AJ McCarron and those teams, that team that beat Notre Dame, fantastic. But I've never seen an Alabama team that had this much offensive firepower, that had a wide receiver that is a Heisman Trophy winner, had a quarterback that was a Heisman Trophy candidate, and a running back that was a Heisman Trophy candidate. I mean, they had the three skill players on offense all at the best of their field. And Alabama is known for that sort of trench defense. I mean, the defense, all of the guys that have come through the Alabama defensive side of the ball, that's look, we've talked about a number of game-managing quarterbacks that Alabama has had that have won national titles. I mean, A.J. McCarron, I mean, Greg McElroy. I mean, you could go even Jalen Hurts. I mean, all the players that have come to Tagovailoa was a little bit more dynamic. But a lot of the guys that have come through the system of Alabama, they don't blow up college football, right? They're not one of the elite. They're not the Joe Burrows of the world, right? They're not the Tim Tebows of the world. They're not the, you know, Trevor Lawrences of the world. They're very efficient at what they do, but they don't light the world on fire. And this Mac Jones does. I mean, he's one of the most efficient quarterbacks they have ever had. And now he's got a national championship. He threw five touchdowns. His wide receiver, Devontae Smith, was wide open. There was no stopping this team. But in discussing the history of this team, where it fits, how much does COVID and the way it affected college football, how much does it play into the discussion? You can go numbers, sure. This is one of the most powerful offenses Alabama has ever had. This is one of the most incredible trio of offensive weapons they have ever had. Their run through their schedule was impressive because there was no Chattanooga on it. There was no Mississippi Valley State or name your division to one AA team that would get to play Alabama for a couple million bucks or $1 million to support its athletic program. It wasn't a padded 13-0, right? It didn't have a cupcake or two on its schedule that you could go, all right, well, they took a week off here. You know, they rolled through this team 63-0, right? There wasn't anything like that. They had to play 10 games in the SEC. And yes, there is a Kentucky, there's Vanderbilt, there's South Carolina, there's Arkansas, there's Mississippi State that's on the schedule. But these are SEC schools with SEC athletes. Right? And they're guided by some of the top coaches in the country. And yet Alabama had to go through them all. And they went through all of them, and they averaged nearly 50 points per game. But COVID did affect the college football season. It did reduce some teams at certain points. It did take away some of the element of some of these teams that were going through the regular season. They lost players. They couldn't play games. Ohio State's schedule was mixed up. It got a late start. I mean, there's a whole bunch of variables here to talk about. And Alabama didn't have those. They got their 10 games in. They had a postponement against LSU. And, you know, they later made up the game. But they got their 10 games in the SEC in. And they went perfect. But COVID has a way of just sort of making its mark in the history books. I think this Alabama team should be remembered as one of its greatest teams ever, but there's always going to be a sub story to how this season played out because of it. But it doesn't make it less fantastic. Now, look, I've told you many times when we talk about the NFL, especially when we talk about what Tom Brady is doing with Tampa Bay. And I've said this over and over again. I don't care if you don't like New England. You can hate New England. Lord knows I have struggled with my appreciation of what they're doing, what they did for 20 years, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and the Patriots, because the Steelers were victimized by it, if you will, right? Good Steeler teams just can't go to the Super Bowl because Tom Brady and the Patriots are just that much better. And I think all of us who root for teams in the AFC in the 20 years have probably had a run-in or two with the excellence of what they built in Foxborough for 20 years. But I've always told you that if you're smart, if you're a football fan and you're smart, and you're a smart sports fan, you could pull yourself away from a little bit and say, man, I'm never going to see that again. And I may not like that team, I may not like that coach, I may not like that quarterback, but I'm going to tell my grandkids about it because it was something that my grandkids will probably never see. I don't know if you can say the same thing about what Nick Saban is building in Alabama, because college football success builds upon success, builds upon success. Right? When they played in the Citrus Bowl last year against Michigan and had an off season, a lot of the guys that you saw last night, the excellence that you saw last night, a lot of those guys came back. Why? Because they knew this was just an off year. We have the coach. We have the recruiting class. We have the players. We should be a national champion, and I want to be one here. Because that's how Nick Saban has built this program. He's a coach that will get you to the NFL if you have NFL ability. He will put you on the national stage. He will put you in a position to win a title at some point in your career at Alabama. It may not be this year. It may not be next year. But at some point, if you stay with him for 3 to 4 years, you will be playing for a national championship. And if you're a kid and this is all you've grown up with, remember, Saban's dominance began at Alabama around 2008, 2009, right? They won the national title in 2009, right? That's 11 years ago. If you're 20, right, you were 9. If you're 18, you were 7. This is all you have known. Yes, Dabo's doing great things at Clemson, and he's pulling in the same kind of recruits. But for the most part, if you're in the South or Southeast, you're in the Alabama recruiting base, and it really is national, but mostly college football is a regional recruiting area. This is the winning program. This is the winning coach. It's not South Carolina that's going through yet another head coach, right? It is not Arkansas that's trying to build something with Sam Pittman. It is not Missouri with Eli Drinkwitz. It is not Tennessee with Jeremy. It's this guy. It's this guy every single year. Then again, some years they fall short. Some years kick six. Right? But for the most part, he's going to put you in this position that they were in last night where the confetti falls. You're doing snow angels in it, right? I mean, you're just celebrating. You're dumping the Gatorade. At some point in your career, you're going to do it. Mac Jones did it a couple of years ago, stuck around, and now he has led this team to a national title. It's not the same in the NFL where you if you're a 4-11-1 team like Philadelphia and you're in salary cap hell, you can get out of that. You can work to get out of that in a couple of years, polish that up, fix it up, be back. In college football, success breeds success breeds success. And as long as he's there, players are going to want to play for him. And good players are going to want to go there, and great players are going to excel there. But overall, I am glad they got this season in. Yeah, for a lot of us in the SEC, and I'm a fan of it. My wife's a fan of it. My son's a fan of it. My in-laws are fans of it. For those of us who, my brother's a fan of it. For those of us in the SEC, it can stink because you know it's a hill to climb. It's almost impossible to climb. You hope to get a break or two. I love it when Auburn gets that moment. I do. I love it. It just breaks it up a little bit. I like it when LSU has a Joe Burrow and has a year like that. It just breaks it up a little bit. I love it. But at the same time, I respect it. I respect the run. Because 11 years ago, I remember doing a show saying, this is going to be a long time of excellence for Alabama when they won their first under Saban, and it has been magnificent. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. More thoughts on the championship game last night. We'll get to the Eagles situation, Tiger Woods documentary on HBO over the weekend. A lot to get to. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace those wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Professional parts people help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install those wiper blades free of charge. See better, drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I was very thankful for my new wiper blades. Because yesterday we got snow, and lots of snow here in Nashville. So I had to go out, and I had to turn the wiper blades on, and snow was flying all over the place.
You make a snow angel?
No, I did not, but I did tell my wife last night, when she came home and it was dark, I said, let's go build a snowman in the backyard. She goes, no. I go, oh, it'll be fun. It's dark. We'll turn on the lights. We'll build a snowman in the backyard. She was not up for it because it was cold. It was really, really cold. So I was like, okay.
So did you do it by yourself?
I didn't do it by myself.
Nah. Still have snow on the ground?
Yeah, which is surprising because usually it snows here and then it goes away. And then yesterday it just hung around.
See, now you got a chance today.
I don't know. It's all icy now. It's not the same sticky softness that you get when it comes from the sky. Once it settles on the ground for a few days, it gets a little icy.
Now, shouldn't you say snow person?
Yeah, snow person. I probably
snow person.
Should. I guess.
Unless you're going anatomically correct here.
No, snowman, because I'm going to give him a top hat and a carrot nose.
I'll never forget a friend of mine. This was years ago before we had kids. We went up to the mountains where it was snowing, and it was one of our friends. It was their first time ever being in snow. She was about 20. She was young 20s. First time ever seeing snow, like actually being in snow. I mean, she saw snow on the mountains, of course, but first time actually being in it, and her thing was she could not wait to make a snowman. And she made a snowman and a snowwoman.
Oh, that's good.
And you could definitely tell them apart.
Happy birthday. Yeah, you need to make sure. You make sure you do it right. Exactly. Nice. Nice. So, yeah, it's not, the snow has lost the stickiness to it. Now it's just annoying snow.
Now it's just ice.
So what did you think of the game last night as Alabama rolled past Ohio State?
Well, it's like I was telling you beforehand, I got a little bummed that Devontae Smith was knocked out of the game too soon.
Yeah, me too. He could have had 500 yards receiving if they wanted to.
He was well on his way. I mean, you know, I mean, guess game plan number one for Ohio State was you don't need to cover the Heisman Trophy winner.
Apparently not. They used a linebacker on one of his touchdowns. I think it had to have been a mix-up.
I guess maybe they thought, you know what, Bama's just going to use him as a decoy all game. They're not going to throw to him.
It is amazing, though. It is amazing to me that all three guys, right, not one of them had a bad game.
No.
Like, not one of them had a game where, like, well, Devontae Smith did well, but Mac Jones threw three picks. Like, he had that one fumble, and that was really it. That was it. Najee Harris had three touchdowns. Devontae Smith had three touchdowns. He threw five of them, Mac Jones. I mean, it was like, here are the three weapons, and they're all going to have excellent games.
Yep, big ones.
Yeah, and you're not going to win that game if you're Ohio State. I don't care what you have. Even if you had Trey Sermon there, you're not going to win that game.
I kind of had a feeling that this is how the game was going to go.
Yeah.
I know everyone was talking about, it's like, you're going to keep going back and forth. It's going to be.
I was hoping for it.
I was just like, you know what? I mean, it'll be that way, and then Alabama is just going to turn into Alabama. They're going to find a way, even though their defense hasn't done much all season long, the defense is going to find a way to stop Ohio State, or Ohio State's just going to not be able to rise to the magnitude of the situation. And that's exactly what happened.
And I say this with all respect to Ohio State. I am one of those people that thought Ohio State, fine. You belong in this title game. You're good. After they beat Clemson, I was absolutely no argument for me that anybody else did, you know, the fact that they played a six game regular season, won the Big Ten title, needed the Big Ten's help to get into that title game to change a rule that was established at the beginning of the season. I didn't care. They beat Clemson and beat Clemson so good that I said, you are the two best teams in college football. But I never thought Ohio State had the firepower to keep up with this team. Just all season, it felt like Alabama. This was a special season for Alabama. These guys were really loaded. And yeah, sure, Ole Miss put some yardage on them. Florida had them against the ropes. Well, I wouldn't even say against the ropes. I mean, had it in one score game. But Ohio State was going to need to turn out something great to keep up with this team. And then when Sermon left the game, I said, that's one of the factors. That's one of the guys you need. And if you don't have them, you can't. Justin Fields is not going to beat this team. This is not going to be a Trevor Lawrence freshman year game. Remember where Lawrence just carved that Alabama team up in his freshman year winning the title? I just did not think you were going to get it. Not with these guys. Not with this offense. I mean, this offense was great. Fantastic. But again, I go back to, you know, is this the best Alabama team I've seen? And I would say, yes, it is. And I liked the A.J. McCarron team that beat Notre Dame. I really liked that team. I liked Mark Ingram. I liked Derrick Henry. I liked I liked Tua. I liked Jalen Hurts. I liked a lot of the Alabama players that have come through. But the trio on offense is one of the best Alabama offenses I've ever seen. The season was impressive. Again, no breaks. An SEC schedule. I mean, again, you don't realize how important those Chattanooga games are. God, why do I always pick on Chattanooga? I think the mocks should send me a free T-shirt. So I can get on there. I always bring that school up when I talk about a weak football opponent. And I hate that because I like the University of Chattanooga.
Do they need to win something?
Chattanooga. Please do, because you're in the front of my mind and I need to find another example when I talk about that. But there wasn't games like that that allowed your team to reset, you know, have starters play a half and then get the heck out of there. And then, I mean, it was boom, 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 boom. I mean, you're going Texas A&M, Mississippi, Georgia, Tennessee. I mean, they're just running through an SEC schedule. And sure, some of these SEC teams are weak, but Nick Saban will tell you, man, you better not sleep. They got some talented players that will bite you in the behind if you're not careful.
And I think that was the most impressive thing. It was given the Alabama circumstances this season. I mean, they clearly are the best team.
Right.
I mean, clearly. It's night and day. You know, and I think you could have grabbed almost an all-star college team, and I think Alabama still would have.
I do, too.
Came out on top.
That talented. All right, coming up, Doug Peterson is out in Philadelphia. Why is he out, and is Philadelphia right now a good job? If you can afford to turn it down, we'll talk about that next. It's Wake Up Call. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, especially on your thoughts on the national title game last night for the Crimson Tide. It's all coming up. Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Doug Peterson has been let go by the Philadelphia Eagles. By the way, let me make this clear, Ron. We always talk about things we've never seen in our lifetime, in you and I's lifetime.
Yeah.
For some of you, you've probably seen it in your lifetime because you might be a little older than us. I've never seen this in my lifetime that a Super Bowl winning coach was exited after 3 years, was fired after 3 years.
Yeah.
After winning a Super Bowl.
Well, it was a weird season for the Eagles, wasn't it?
It really was. It really was. I mean, he didn't even get the, all right, it was COVID. Don't, you know, just let's just wrap this thing up and let's start fresh.
I think this has everything to do with his relationship with Carson Wentz and the fact that ownership is looking there's like, dude, we just gave him all this money.
No question. This is not, we love you, Doug Peterson, but we need to turn. There are things going on behind the scenes with this guy in ownership. I don't think they like the way he coached this team. I don't think he liked the way they meddled in his ability to coach this team. I think it was just one of those situations where both sides were sick and tired of each other, regardless of the Super Bowl championship from 3 years ago. There was just enough bad blood starting to turn that the Eagles felt like this is the time to go. If he had won that division, if they were in the playoffs, then you'd be like, ah. But a 4-11-1 season where you don't like the guy is enough for them to go, yep, well, that's it. We're parting ways.
Yeah.
Right? That's it. Despite the fact that you gave this city something it had craved forever and a day, this is it. We're done.
I'm just curious if the Eagles brass was, or if they attempted to try to move Wentz and realized they had no partners.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because he's too much money. I mean,
that's a lot of money.
He has got a boatload of money. I mean, look at the Steelers, for example. A friend of mine was talking about maybe the Steelers should go after Carson Wentz. I'm like, they already got a high-priced quarterback that may want to come back next year. Why would they add another one? Right, the idea would be to get the money off the books so you can just sort of, all right, we might have some lean years here, but let's chill out and find the quarterback of the future. You don't want to take on that albatross of a contract if you're some of these teams. Even if you're desperate for a quarterback, you don't need to take on an albatross contract like that. So the larger question is, all right, so you're a coaching candidate, right? Let's say you're a coaching candidate that's got some options here, right? You've interviewed in Atlanta. You've interviewed in Houston. Or you're interviewing with the Chargers. Or you're interviewing with the Eagles, the Jets. And right, and your agent is like, yeah, you got a couple of these teams interested in you. And you're sitting down with your agent going, what's the best opportunity? Where do the Eagles fit? They're in salary cap hell, right? They got a quarterback that you may not want if you're a head coach in Carson Wentz and may not want in Jalen Hurts. We'll find out. You've got financial problems. You've got an ownership group that's not easy to work with. It's not the best job on the market. And, I mean, look, obviously somebody's taking it. I mean, obviously somebody's going to grab this, one of 32 in the world. But I don't envy the person going in, especially if that person had opportunities to go somewhere else. Like, if you're deciding between Houston and Philadelphia, Houston's got its own issues, but you may even find that to be better. Atlanta might be better. The best job is the Chargers, right? I mean, that's the best job. Maybe Jacksonville with the number one pick, but I think the Chargers is the best job.
I'd say it's those two because Jacksonville also has a lot of cap space.
They have a lot of cap space and they're getting Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah,
so if you are Urban Meyer, put your staff together and go down there.
If you're looking like, hey, I want to make a playoff run now,
right?
I think it's the Chargers.
Right.
I think the Chargers have enough pieces, and they do have cap room as well.
They got cap room, they got star players, they got their quarterback of the future. There's a lot to love there.
There is.
But the Eagles, that could be last on the list. Yeah. Next to the Jets,
well,
in terms of opportunity.
Jets have a lot of cap space as well.
Jets could be a good job.
I would put the Eagles in the Texans realm.
Yeah, the Texans are a disaster too.
The Texans are, and it's an organization imploding because your star quarterback, your future of your franchise probably wants out.
See, you need a Bill Parcells. Yeah, you need a Bill Parcells type, a guy that's like, look, I'll come here, I'll fix it up. But you ain't ruining my legacy, so let's make that very clear from day one.
Yep.
Like, all right, I'm calling some shots, and so we're not getting in some contest between you and me about who's the quarterback and losing games and all that other nonsense. I'm here. I'm going to fix this. It's going to take some time. And if you want me to do it, I'll do it. But this is you're not going to throw me under the bus with the press or anything like that. Let's just make that clear. That's what you kind of need. You know, Parcells was that kind of guy. When Parcells would arrive, he'd be like, look, I remember when he got hired by Dallas. I was like, yeah, this is a guy Jerry Jones won't be able to push around. And Jerry Jones tried to push him around a bit. But still, that's good. But if you're a young guy, if you're a coordinator, like, you know, Eric Bieniemy's name's being tossed about out there, you know, Arthur Smith's name's out there, the Tennessee offensive coordinator. If you're looking for your first job, yeah, you'll take this because it's a job in the NFL. And you're not going to make that kind of money as an assistant, right? I mean, you're automatically going to get 3 to 4 times what you were getting as a coordinator in this league, becoming a head coach. And it also does that one thing for you that you and I talk about a lot. Once you become a head coach, it's easier to then become a head coach again. Like, you may have to be a coordinator for a bit, like Dan Quinn, who just got hired by Dallas, but you get back into the groove of things. That's why Josh McDaniels took the Denver job, right? As a young guy, take the Denver job, get the head coach. And then if you want, your name is going to get bantied about and you get to figure out how your future looks. Is it easier to stay here in New England, or do I really want that struggling team, wherever that struggling, remember that he flirted with Cleveland for a while. So if you're young and you're looking for your first head coaching job, you'll take Philadelphia and the mess. If you're experienced and you got a few options, that might be a job you stay away from. But the last time a coach has been fired within 2 years or 3 years of winning the Super Bowl was Super Bowl V. Don McCaffrey lost his job with the Colts 2 years after winning Super Bowl V. So lifetime, you know, our lifetime, yeah, we have not seen this happen. It really is amazing. Like, you think about just 3 years ago, how on fire that city was for winning that Super Bowl.
Last year.
Oh yeah, last year. I mean, look, it's not just he won the Super Bowl and it was crap.
Yeah.
I mean, he got this team to the playoffs and, right? I mean, this was just an off year. And then it was just so much more.
Which happens a lot, you know, and it's one of those weird, it's hard to imagine any coach being fired this year unless you were just historically bad, like Adam Gase.
Right.
Or, you know, kept making poor decisions like Anthony Lynn. I get those firings. Doug Peterson, I thought for sure we'd get a pass.
I did too. I thought they would say, look, there was some issues with the team, obviously. It was a strange year for all of us, but, you know, if I'm the owner, I go, and look, at all things being equal, let's forget the behind the scenes problems that sort of led to sort of the relationship to be strained. All things being equal, if it was just a wins and losses thing, you would think that they would say, look, the trend for this team with you guiding it is that we make the playoffs. Going 4-11-1 is more of an anomaly than what you usually produce here. What you usually produce here is that we go to the playoffs and have a chance. This was an off crazy year. Let's throw this away for a second as not, you know, like throwing the high score and the low score of a test. Let's see where this goes next year.
That's why, because I just have to think that that's how bad it got between him and the front office.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there was a report that
was, you know, just how bad things have gotten between him and Carson Wentz.
And that's the thing, right? That's the other thing. Because if you're the ownership, right, and you've got a guy that's going to get, what, $60 million guaranteed, $50 million guaranteed?
Yeah.
Over the next two seasons? So $50 million guaranteed. It's $60 million in dead cap space, okay, for Carson Wentz. If you're the owner and there's a rift between your quarterback and the head coach that is not repairable, and you've got a guy you can't move and you've got a guy you can move, you move the guy you can move, which is Doug Peterson. Because you are not shipping Carson Wentz and that albatross to any other team in this league. It would be incredible. If you could. I've seen it happen. I remember Brock Osweiler's contract. Remember when the Browns picked that up?
Yep.
And I remember, so I shouldn't say never. It could happen, but
that was one of those rare.
It's very, very iffy.
That was a rare, for the Browns, that was a rare instance because
they had to spend money.
They had to spend money or they were going to get a fine, right?
That's right. That's right. So,
they had to spend it, we'll just take on this bad contract.
Oh, exactly. If you're rebuilding your team and you've got low salaries, And you know you're rebuilding your team, right? So you're not dumping, you know, eight figures on an offensive lineman or a defensive end or whatever. You've got a lot of room, and you're short on getting to the bottom of the cap. Yeah, take on an albatross of a contract in a rebuilding year because you got to spend it anyway. And it can be movable, right? It's like, all right, once this is over and we keep rebuilding, then we'll free that up later. But right now we need to spend it. Let's just go grab this guy and pay him what he's owed so we can just say we've spent the money while we're building our team out. That opportunity may present itself to Eagles brass. But I mean, again, if you're looking at this from a, all right, you hate him, he hates you, I got to pick one, pick the guy you can't move. You can't afford to move. Because Doug Peterson is movable. But if you feel like you're going to be giving up a great coach, then that's different. And Peterson and management have not really gotten along.
That's the thing. He's already proven himself. What do you expect to get? I mean, who's out there that is that understands the game better than Doug Peterson? Doug Peterson's going to get hired by someone quickly.
Within a few days, he's going to be up for a job.
Yeah, he's probably sitting back like, all right, you gave me my walking papers. Philadelphia was kind of cold anyways. Maybe I will go down to Jacksonville. Maybe I will go to San Diego or L.A. Maybe I'll go down to Houston where it's warmer.
Go to Houston.
You really don't know where he's going to go. But the point is that he is going to get interviews immediately and is going to have a job probably before all the coaching spots have been filled out. Unless he decides, I'm going to take a break.
Exactly. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Your thoughts on that as we continue. Coming up, I'll touch on the little Tiger Woods documentary. I saw part one yesterday afternoon. I really can't wait for part two because it was very well done. That's coming up on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during the Super Bowl 55 with Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. All right, so I saw the Tiger Woods documentary yesterday, HBO Max. Oh, man, I can't wait for part two. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, yeah, that's how I saw Wonder Woman 84 this holiday season, which I hated.
Which you never talk about. I don't know why.
I should. I hated that movie so much. Hated that movie.
Nah, let's not waste any time on that one.
The Tiger Woods documentary is great. Here's what I love. The Tiger Woods documentary, when you watch it, and it's done by the same people that wrote the book, Armin Katan and his team that wrote this book about Tiger. The human the psychological element of humanity is unbelievable. If you tell somebody, hey man, I'm going to put a camera in this room, and if you wouldn't mind, could you talk about your friend for this documentary? It's amazing how many people say yes. How many people are willing to get in front of a camera and go, yeah, sure, I'll talk about the infidelity. I'll talk about his upbringing. I'll talk about the hard life that he had with a father like Earl and a mother like Tita. It was incredible. I kept going, are these his friends? Either he burnt some bridges or they're just completely destroying the friendship right now being on camera talking about
Maybe
Woods.
Maybe they took a little truce beforehand.
Unreal. So the first part is good because it gives you all of Tiger's upbringing, right? His youth. You know what's interesting? You know how you know something in sports, but then you watch a documentary and then you're reminded about how good something is and you kind of take a step back.
Of course.
Wow. It happens all the time, right? Like we know the 49ers were really good, right? But when you watch highlights, you're like, damn, they are really fantastic. That's the way I felt watching Tiger's early years when they showed just clips of like all of the Masters win and the 2000 Pebble Beach where you're like, jeez, that. I know he won this stuff. It's just a reminder how dominant he was. How guys were just showing up at golf tournaments going, that's it, I ain't winning this thing. There's no way I'm winning this thing. And then for all of it to just go, like right after the 2008 U.S. Open, nothing. Until the Masters of 2019. So they show his dominance, but they show his childhood. They talk about his childhood, and his ex-girlfriend is on there from high school. And she's on there. She's on there a lot. And she talks about what she witnessed Tiger growing up. He didn't have any friends. He played golf all the time. She didn't even know the school had a golf team and that Tiger was on it. She went to the tournament. He invited her to play. He was going to play in this tournament, and he invited her. She didn't know what she was going to. She's going to the LA Open on the PGA Tour when he was 16 years old. She was watching him play on a PGA Tour event at 16. And she goes, the Tiger I knew was not the Tiger that was on that golf course. She's like, the Tiger that was on the golf course is a totally different person. Confident, sure of himself, not awkward, knew what he was doing. She goes, I was blown away by it. And people were asking for his autograph. He was getting mobbed everywhere. He was 16. She couldn't believe it. She was like, I didn't know this was you. Like, I didn't know this you had, that this was you. So they dated until there was an incident. And then he wrote her a letter saying, that's it. We're done. I'm out. Goodbye. Good luck. Good luck with the rest of your life. And she still has the letter. But it really gets into Earl Woods and his infidelity and how it affected Tiger, because Woods had a Winnebago he would take women to during the at the golf course. And nice. Tiger witnessed all that. Yeah, it really gets into some details. Then part two is the downfall and then the re-rise of Tiger Woods. But this documentary is well done. HBO does a good job with this stuff. And they hit a home run so far, at least, with this Tiger Woods documentary. It is Wake Up Call. It is Sports Map Radio.